This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Share with you a little bit about what is happening in Israel at this time. We're going to spend some time today before communion, and then also next Sunday. Next Sunday we'll talk primarily just about the Feast of Tabernacles. But today I want to give you a little bit of information on the other feasts that are being celebrated at this time. This is really an important time for Israel, but it also is for us, you know. And my motivation to teach on this is so you get an understanding. You might say to me, Pastor Rich, you know, that's just for Israel. But it really isn't. And when you understand the background of what the Feast of the Lord represent, then you get a better, clear understanding of why it's important for the church also, as well as Israel, God's chosen people. This is the most important season of the Jewish calendar. Right now, okay? They celebrate three high holidays, okay? Three. And the three are, first is their New Year's, which is Rosh Hashanah, which already has passed. That was September 19th, okay? That is their New Year's celebration. Then comes the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, okay? The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, that was also September 28th. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And then the last one, which we have celebrated before and we'll be celebrating next Sunday, is the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, which is called Sukkot. There's a couple different names, but the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the three high holidays that are being celebrated at this time right now. Okay? Now, with that in mind, you say, well, what is some of the significance, you know, of these feasts? You know, does it just have to pertain to Israel, or does it have anything to do with us as a church? Well, it really does. These fall feasts, these are called the fall feasts because we're in fall now. This is our autumn time. They're actually a blueprint for restoration, okay? Restoration. Sacrifice, atonement, and joyful in gathering. Those are the three things that we talk about when we talk about these feasts. Let me say that again. Sacrifice, atonement, and joyful in gathering. When we come together. Like today, we've come together to celebrate the Lord in the house of the Lord. We're going to come together in fellowship downstairs after the service. A joyful in gathering, okay? That's what this time of the year talks about. This is the path along which the fall feast of Israel move on. Now, the person who wrote this particular article, he says, I am a Messianic Jew. I am grateful to God that He has allowed me to discover, and this is what you need to understand today, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the festivals. Okay? Jesus is the fulfillment of all these festivals and all these feasts that Israel is celebrating right now. He is my atonement. How many can say that today? Jesus is my atonement. Amen? He is my joy. Amen? And in Him I have a new beginning and a new life. Amen? So all of us can say what Jews can say today. Messianic Jews as well as Christian believers, which we are today. Okay? So I'm just going to try to give you some information about some of these things today. I think you'll be interested. I hope you are, because the Old Testament brings us to the New Testament. Amen? And in these feasts, we see fulfillments, okay, of the Bible, and that's what is so very important today. The Jewish New Year, which we know is Rosh Hashanah, It's the civil Jewish New Year that we're going to read about. It's in Leviticus 23. It's the first. It's one of the first festivals that are celebrated here. Rosh Hashanah, the meaning of it really means the head of the year, okay, or the new year, which we celebrate January 1st, but it's different in the Jewish calendar. Literally, it means the head of the year. And another name for Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets, okay? How many have ever heard of the Feast of Trumpets? Amen? I didn't have time to get together the horns, the blowing of the horns. Hopefully I'll have that for us next Sunday, okay? But when they have the new year, it's when they have the Feast of Trumpets, okay? Which is very important. They resuscitate special prayers during this Feast of Trumpets, as well as the festivals. They eat special foods during this time of the year, okay? As we do, you know, certain holidays, certain traditions we have, we eat special food. Well, the Jewish people do the same thing during this time of the year. They eat special foods to represent a sweet year to come, okay? So everything they eat is sweet because it's a representation of what is to come. Good things from the Lord. Anybody ready for that today? Amen? Sweet, good things from the Lord. Praise God. So that is a little bit of dealing with the Feast of Trumpets. We're going to get into that a little bit more here today. But these are appointed times, okay? Appointed times of the Lord. Special times of the Lord. We serve God, and the Bible gives us a timetable of things. And in this timetable, the feast have a part to play in it today. The spring feast and the fall feast. Of course, we're in the fall feast, and we're going to read about that a little bit today and understand about that. But in these feasts, I want you to know that Israel, they cease from their everyday routine. They don't do their everyday routine during these feasts. Okay? They focus on the Lord, and they focus on His love for them, which is important for us. How many know we can do that too today? Amen? We focus on the Lord and on His love for them. This is really important here as we see it. During these feasts, we see it's a precious time when Jewish people reconnect with God, with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I think we can do the same, okay, during this month. It's a time for us to what? Reconnect with the Lord. Amen. Reconnect with God and get closer to the Lord. Amen. During this time of the feast, it's very important. Praise God. So, looking at these three fall feasts, we're going to look at each one, not all of them today, but we're going to get a little bit of understanding of two of them, hopefully today, and then next week we'll go into the last one. Okay? Now, first of all, I want to talk about Yeshua. How many know who Yeshua is? Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Yeshua. I want to talk to you a little bit about, here it talks about the redemptive career of Yeshua. Redemptive career of Yeshua. You know, today we're celebrating communion, which talks about redemption. Amen. Well, Jesus, His whole life, or His career, has to do with redemption. Okay, not only do we understand the Jewish people better by knowing the Feast of Israel, because we need to do that today, but we will also deepen our understanding of the Jewish Messiah. Okay, as each of the feasts points to a specific event in the redemptive career of Yeshua, our Redeemer. Okay, so each of the feasts relates to Jesus and what He did. That's why they're so important, even for the Christian today, even for the believer. You don't have to be Jewish for this to be important to you. In a sense, God's grand plan is revealed through the feast. So His whole plan, we see it in all the feasts of the Lord, which is so neat. Many believers agree that each of the Levitical holy conversations have been or will be fulfilled by a specific event, okay? In a specific order in the prophetic career of the Messiah. So all the important things that we believe are going to happen in the Bible, that have happened and are going to happen until Jesus comes back, they have a connection to do with the feast of the Lord, okay? And the feasts are a timetable, even of the Lord's return. I don't know if you knew this before. That's why it's so important we understand a little bit of the feast. The spring festivals were all fulfilled by the first coming of the Messiah. Okay? These are the spring feasts. All of them were fulfilled when Jesus came the first time. All right? But now, the fall feast, they will be fulfilled by His second coming. Isn't that beautiful? Amen? There's an order. God is a God of order today. How many know that? And He has everything in a timetable and in order. Okay? That's the God that we serve today. The order of the feast on the Jewish calendar might give us a great insight into the sequence of events of the last days. All right? So, if we understand the feast, then we're going to understand how things are going to happen as they do in the last days until Jesus comes back. This is very important that we see that here today. Okay? Now, I want to go into now a little bit about Jesus and His second coming. All right? The Messiah's second coming. We're going to see the three feasts, how they relate to Jesus' second coming here. Okay? The first one, which we know is Rosh Hashanah, the new year, or the Feast of Trumpets that we've talked about. This has to do with the end times. Okay? The Feast of Trumpets, with the trumpets and the horns blowing, they're going to herald in the end times. Okay? There's the connection between Feast of Trumpets and end times for the church. Okay? Number two, we look at the fall feast here. We see Yom Kippur. Okay? Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, that is already passed. It was in September. Okay? This has to do with the Great Tribulation. So Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, refers to the Great Tribulation. All right? Very important we see that. And then the last feast of the fall, which we're going to get into next Sunday more, has to do with Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? Which is my favorite, praise God. The Feast of Tabernacles. This refers to the thousand-year messianic kingdom. All right? How many know we're going to rule and reign 1,000 years with Christ? Amen? That's what the Feast of Tabernacles refers to. Okay? So those are the three feasts that are still being celebrated and are going to lead us to the end. Okay? To when Jesus comes back. The fall feasts have to do with the second coming of Jesus. Amen. That's very important here today that we understand that. Praise God. Let me see if I can, in my notes, find you. I think I had a little section here about the spring feast and how they refer to different things. Give me one second here. See if I can find it. Okay. I have a lot of different material that I'm able to gather up for all these feasts, which is really interesting. I got some new material over the weekend. Praise God. Okay, that's okay. I don't see it. Oh yeah, here it is. Praise God. So we talked about the second coming, but if we look at the first coming, when Jesus came the first time, I just want to give you this a little bit of background. It's not going to be on the board here because it's too much material. But when Jesus came the first time, Passover, how many know the Jewish people celebrate Passover? Okay. Passover had to do with the Messiah's sacrificial death. Okay. Passover, Jesus' sacrificial death. The next feast was the Feast of First Fruits. Okay? Anybody like fruits here? I didn't ask if you were a fruit. I said, do you like fruits? Amen? Fruits are good, right? Praise God. First fruits, that's one of the feasts. The first fruits have to do with Messiah's victorious resurrection. Okay? First fruits, Jesus resurrecting from the dead. Amen. And then the third feast, which is the Feast of Weeks. Okay? Feast of Weeks, this had to do with the birth of the body of Messiah. Okay? So each of these feasts, the biblical holy day has a fulfillment. All right? Passover had to do with Jesus dying. First fruits had to do with his resurrection. And Shavuot, which is the Jewish pronunciation of Feast of Weeks, had to do with the birth of the Messiah. Okay? So again, those three feasts had to do with the first coming. Those are the spring celebrations. And now, today, we are talking about the feast of the fall, the festivals of the fall that have to do with the second coming of Christ, which are so important. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Now, first we want to talk a little bit with you about Rosh Hashanah. Okay? This was, again, this New Year's Day, or for us, we call it the Feast of Trumpets. All right? How many like trumpets? Praise God. I love brass section. Okay? One day that would really bless my heart to see when we have a full band up here. We have a section here that is horns. Okay? Trumpets. Praise God. Clarinet. All right? In our previous church on the southeast side, we had one gentleman who was a sax player. Actually, we had two men. One played the sax, and the other one also played the sax, and he played the clarinet. He was multi-talented. And there's something about trumpets, okay, or the trumpet. You know, we're to sound the alarm, amen. As Christians, we're to what? Blow the trumpet in Zion, amen. Something special about trumpets, okay. That's what they do. That's what they did last month, the Jewish people. As the new year came in, they blew the trumpets. Okay? They herald the new beginning of a new year. Praise God. Like we'll be doing come January. You know, it'll be here before you know it. How many can even believe it's already October 4th today? Amen? It's going fast. 9 months of the year has already gone. Praise God. So this is what happens when they celebrate the Jewish New Year, okay? Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. It is also known as the Feast of Trumpets, amen. And it is the first of the three fall feasts. It's the first one, okay, of the three. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is gathering or regathering, okay? It's a time for God's people to regather, amen. And it's also a time of repentance. Amen. When you think of the word atonement, you should think about being atoned for what? Your sins. Amen. A time of repentance, a time of atonement is what we see in Rosh Hashanah, okay, or the Feast of Trumpets. It's a time of regathering, a time of repentance, and this prepares you for the other two feasts. Okay? It's the first one. So as you come and you regather and you repent, it prepares you for the feast to come. Amen. Which we know we talk about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and you know what? The Day of Atonement, I don't know if you know this, but it's the most holy day of the Jewish calendar. Okay? The most holy day is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the most holy day. Okay. Now, when I read about that and studied a little bit about that, it made me think about the devil. You say, well, why would you think about the devil when you think about the most holy day? Because in October, the end of October, some people celebrate what? Halloween. Halloween. And Halloween is the high, it's not a holy day, but That's what they call it for Satan. All right? It's his highest evil day of the year, Halloween. Okay? So that's why I thought about it. But for the Christians, the Day of Atonement, okay, for Israel, is the most holy day. And then that will take us into Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths. That's another name, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Okay? In our church for many years, our pastor and his wife, really his wife, she was a tremendous prophetic person. She was a phenomenal teacher, the pastor's wife. And she really taught about all the feasts of the Lord and made it into something special in our church. Every year we would celebrate these feasts and we would invite other churches to come and other ministries to come. And you know what we would do also? We would build a booth in the church. Okay? We would build a booth so that we could visualize what the children of Israel did during the Feast of Tabernacles. They would go and live in these booths, okay? And it would make you think about what they did years ago in the Old Testament. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. A booth, or another word for that is a tabernacle, okay? They would tabernacle in this booth, all right? We'll get into that more next week, all right? So, looking at Scripture today, as we talk about Rosh Hashanah, we prepare our hearts for the beautiful season of the high holy days. Okay? Today, that's what we want to do. We want to prepare our heart for these seasons of these festivals, of these high holy days. And we read about this in Leviticus. So I want you to turn with me to Leviticus 23. Here we're going to read about the Feast of Trumpets, okay? Rosh Hashanah, right? The head of the year. This is the Feast of Trumpets. And we're going to see in just a few verses here, in Leviticus chapter 23, we're going to refer to a couple in the Old Testament and a couple in the New Testament, so you understand where do we get this from. Leviticus 23, 23 to 25. Let's read that. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation." All right? So, in the timetable, in the Jewish calendar, it was the seventh month. Okay? It was the first day of the month. It was a Sabbath day, a very special holy day. In this Sabbath day, it was going to be what? A memorial of blowing of the trumpets, because it was a holy convocation, a holy time to regather all the children of Israel. Okay? Then it tells us here, in verse 25, it says, "And you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." So, when they celebrate New Year's, okay, Feast of Trumpets, they didn't do any work. All right? No work was performed because it was a high holy day. It was a day set apart. It was a Sabbath day set unto the Lord. A time of gathering, a time of repentance, amen, a time of getting right with the Lord, reconnecting with the Lord, all those things that I'm saying, you don't have to be Jewish to do today. Amen? We all need to do that. If we're Jewish or not, we need to have a time to regather and to repent before God, make sure our hearts are right. Okay? Another reference to this Feast of Trumpets is Psalms 81. Let's go to the book of Psalm, chapter 81. In Psalm 81, we're going to read just a couple verses, verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 81. It says, "Blow the trumpet, amen, in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statue for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. So here it is. In this time of feasting, this festival, this appointed time, it was a time to blow the trumpet in Zion. Amen. It was a solemn feast day. Okay? A holy convocation, different terminology that we see in the Bible. And this was a statue for Israel forever. Amen? It wasn't something they were going to do just a few years and then that was it. This is something they continue to do. Even since Jesus has come and gone, Israel continues to do this every year. Okay? It's a law of the God of Jacob. So, it's very important to the Lord. Amen? It's very important to the Jewish people. And it has significance for you and I today as a believer in the Lord. Praise God. I want to look at some references of this in the New Testament. Okay? Because it's not only in the Old, but it's referred to in the New Testament also. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, you're going to see it here again. And this has to do with the second coming of Christ. Amen? How many are looking forward to Jesus' return? Amen? You need to be looking for His return. Okay? Here's some scriptures that refer to that. You know these scriptures. But this is really the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. I couldn't say it. Trumpets. I got tongue-tied. Amen? The trumpets are going to blow. All right? In the New Testament, we see it here in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. We read these scriptures at funerals many times and at wakes. All right? Because it talks about the hereafter. So let's look at this. In verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." It's talking about the dead, of course. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, here it is, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. They're going to join us, those who are asleep right now. Amen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. How is He going to descend? With a shout, amen, with the voice of the archangel, and here it is, with the trump of God. A trumpet, amen. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, amen. Hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I like this last part. I think it's so important we read this, especially when we're at wakes and funerals. It says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Amen. How many know we need to comfort each other with the words of the Lord? So here we see about the trumpet, okay? The voice of the archangel, amen. The trump of God is going to blow when Jesus comes back. The second coming, amen. We see the Feast of Tabernacles, how it will be fulfilled when He comes back. Okay? It's awesome. Praise God. Another set of scriptures we can look at. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verses 50 to 58. I know you're familiar with these verses also, okay? 50 to 58 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Amen. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," just think about that, "in just that quick," praise God, "at the last trump," there it is again, the last trump, it says, "for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised," amen, "incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Praise God. Anybody want to be changed? We need to be changed, amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks, amen, it's a time of thanksgiving, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Powerful verses. Praise God. The trumpet is going to blow. Amen. The Feast of Tabernacles is going to usher in the second coming of the Lord. So we better understand the Feast of Trumpets. Amen. There's a lot of significance for us today when the Jewish people have their New Year. A lot of meaning for us today. Praise God. We can get a connection now that we understand that. Praise God. Really important we see this. It says here, let me backtrack a little bit. Jewish people all over the world blow the shofar, ram's horn. Amen? Whenever you see Jewish people, if you ever go to a Jewish church or whatever, they always have the ram's horn. Okay? Last year we had Brother David come. I'll see if he's available next Sunday, that he could come, because he has one, to have that horn blow, okay, signifying the Feast of Trumpets, amen? That's what takes place during this feast. Prophetically, Rosh Hashanah will be fulfilled by the ultimate regathering of the second coming, amen? When we all get together, when Jesus comes back, and we all regather together with Him, that's when this will be prophetically fulfilled. Okay? Feast of Trumpets. So important for us to understand that today. It is important to note, they say here the rapture, but I like to say the second coming, amen, does not have to take place on the day of Rosh Hashanah to fulfill it. The Bible is clear that we don't know the day nor the hour when Jesus is going to come back. How many know that today? Amen? Nobody knows that day. Praise God. Bible says even Jesus doesn't know that day. So if He don't really know, well, we don't know. Praise God. God knows, and He will let Jesus know when it's time, and when it comes forth, we will know it. Okay? So this is a little bit of background of Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets. All right? Very, very important to our future today. Amen. Very important. We understand that there's a connection for the body of Christ. Not only Israel, yes, I understand it has more meaning to them, but it refers to the church too, because we're all going to get together when Jesus comes back. Amen. So it's important we get a little bit of a understanding about that. Amen. Now I want to talk a little bit about Yom Kippur before we go into communion, because this is perfect today. Yom Kippur. Right? What is it? The Day of Atonement. Amen. The Day of Atonement. Praise God. Yom Kippur is the most solemn of the holy, of the high holy days. It's the most solemn. Okay? It is a fast and a day of affliction. So the people of Israel on Yom Kippur, they fast. Okay? And I read in my information is, they not only fast of food, but they don't even drink water. They afflict themselves. Amen? It's a time of affliction. Another word for affliction, because I know we don't like that word, especially in the U.S., we don't like affliction, but it's a day of humbling. Okay? A day you humble yourself before the Lord. When you fast, it's a day of humbling. Okay? You humble yourself, you afflict your body that you don't eat. Okay? You don't drink anything. Now that's what they do. I'm not saying we do that. Okay? When we have a fast, you know, communion Sunday, we ask you to fast Sunday morning. I never tell you don't drink water. Okay? That's a special fast. I'm not saying that you can do that, but for the most part, it's not recommended that we don't drink water, especially those of us who may not be healthy, okay? Very important, I say that to you. You have to be careful with that. And God knows, okay, who you are and what you can do. But the Jewish people, that's the way they do it. That is their Yom Kippur, which is very important. This is brought out in Leviticus 16, but it's also brought out in Leviticus 23. So we're going to go back to Leviticus 23, and we're going to read about Yom Kippur. So let's go there. Leviticus 23. And we're going to read verses 26 to 32. We're going to take up from where we left off when we were talking about the Feast of Trumpets. So in verse 26, we'll read through 32. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of this seventh month," there it is again, the seventh month, "there shall be a day of atonement." There it is. A day of atonement. "It shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall afflict your souls." There it is again. "And offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement. To make an atonement for you before the Lord your God." Amen. "For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people." Wow, did you catch that? He says that anybody of the people of Israel here who does not afflict himself or humble himself, meaning he fasts before the Lord, he spends time with God, he says if you don't do it, you're going to be cut off from the people. That's how important it was. That's how important God looked at this time of this solemn feast. Okay? It's very important. Verse 30. He says, "And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people." Here it is again. So if you didn't afflict yourself, and the other thing is, if you worked, you would also be cast out. Okay? God wanted you to humble yourself, and God wanted you not to work. This was a solemn day before the Lord. Okay, verse 31. "And you shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever." Did you see that, church? Forever. Amen. "Throughout your generations and all your dwellings." Wow. So this is something that was going to continue in the Jewish realm. Amen. "It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest." Meaning you're not going to do your normal routine. You're not going to work. You're not going to do what you normally do every day of the week. This is a Sabbath of rest unto God, unto the Lord. He says, and again, he says it here again, "You shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening until evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath." All right? So it was a full day that they were going to celebrate this Day of Atonement. Very important we understand that here. Now, we see this talked about, referenced to, in the New Testament also. Okay? It's in Romans. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Amen. Amen. In Romans 5, we're going to read just a couple, well, one verse, and then we'll go to a different chapter. But you should know this verse, Romans 5:8. It says, "But God commanded His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You say, well, what do you see here? I see atonement. Amen? It says, God what? Gave us His love while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Amen. Christ atoned for our sin. There's our atonement that we can celebrate today as we get our hearts ready for communion. Another verse that relates to this same book, I want you to turn to Romans 8, verse 3. So just turn a couple chapters over. in Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans 8:3, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." So when Jesus came, He says, God, He sent Him to take care of what? Sin that was in our flesh. Okay, the sin of mankind. Because how many knows in the Old Testament they would sacrifice animals? They would have the high priest go into the Holy of Holies once a year so that the sins of the people could be forgiven. But it was not good enough. Amen? They had to continue to do this every year. So God had to have a different plan. So He came up with a perfect sacrifice. And that perfect sacrifice was Jesus. Amen. The perfect Lamb. The Lamb of God. Slain for our sins. And when He came, He died for us. And He died for our sin. And He condemned sin in the flesh. Okay? We should be thankful today for this as we see this. I got one more reference here to do with atonement. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 10. We're talking about atonement. Amen. The day of atonement. Praise God. Hebrews 10, 1 through 3 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered," here it is, "year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." See, those sacrifices didn't cut it. It just didn't do what it needed to do. It says in verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins." Well, that didn't happen, even though they did those sacrifices. Verse 3, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again of sins every year." So they kept doing it every year. But it didn't wipe out, you know, that consciousness of sin. All right? It was that sacrifice just didn't do what it was meant to do. So Jesus had to come. We had to have a different plan. In that same chapter, go to verses 19 to 22 in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. What does it say? It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Oh, praise God for His blood today. "By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, His flesh. Amen. "And having a high priest over the house of God." He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." Amen. "In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Amen. This is what we are doing today. We're what? Drawing near with a true heart. Having assurance today. Having assurance of faith or confidence today that our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. Amen. That's what atonement will do for us. He will atone for our sins. Atone for that evil conscience, and our bodies to be washed with pure water today. Amen. How many know we don't literally get washed today with water because Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. Amen. He did it back then, and it's still just as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. And that's why we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, because as the Jews celebrate Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement, we can too today. Amen. We have atonement for our sins also. Praise God. That's a blessing for you and for I as a child of the King. Amen. I'm just going to read here a little bit of what I have on the notes here, and then we're going to get into communion today. Amen. It says, first, this has to do with the high priest. He would atone for himself by providing both a sin and a burnt offering. We see this in Leviticus 16. After offering sacrifices to the Lord for himself and the other priest, this is what would happen in the Old Testament, he would be ready to make an offering for the atonement for all of Israel. Okay? This was the way he did it, the high priest. Two male goats were used. One goat was slaughtered, and the other goat, which was known as Azazel, or the scapegoat, was escorted into the wilderness. And tradition tells us that it was pushed off a cliff to its certain death, taking with it all the sins of Israel to be remembered no more. Isn't that interesting? I need to say that again. One of the goats was slaughtered, but the other goat was brought into the wilderness and was pushed off a cliff. Okay? This goat, and it would be pushed off, and it would go down and to its certain death. And this was representation of this goat taking all the sins of Israel not to be remembered anymore. Okay? Everything has a meaning to it when you read the Bible, especially when we read about the Old Testament, all the statutes and laws and everything that they did in Israel had significance. Okay? Now here's what I want to say to you dealing with this goat that was thrown off the cliff. Yeshua, or Jesus, became our Aziel 2,000 years ago. Okay? This goat that was thrown off the cliff, Jesus became that goat for me and you today. Why? Because he was to take our sins that they would be remembered no more. Praise God. Is anybody thankful for that today? Amen? That was Jesus, our Messiah, doing that. Praise God. So, this is three times in Leviticus we see that the people are told to humble their souls. The prophetic fulfillment of Yom Kippur will come with the Great Tribulation, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Amen. Which is a specific description of the affliction of Israel during the Great Tribulation, and we have references for that. So, this Yom Kippur has to do with the Great Tribulation. It's going to be a time of humbling. It's going to be a time of affliction, on and on and on. So, I hope this has given you a little bit of an understanding why these feasts, these fall feasts, are important even to us, the church today, because there's meaning in God's timetable until Jesus returns. Okay? Very important. Praise God. So now as we talked about atonement, I want to go right into communion. Okay? And I'm going to ask our ushers if you would call the class downstairs and bring it up to us. Amen. Rose gave me something here in Hebrews that Jesus became our high priest and sacrifice once and for all. Amen. He is. He is our high priest. And he is our sacrifice today. Once and for all. He's not going to do it again. Okay? He did it 2,000 years ago, and it's still valid for today. While we wait for them to come up, I'm going to read you just a couple scriptures. And as soon as they come up, I'm going to ask the ushers to come, and they can begin to pass out the bread and the cup. Amen. So just listen while I read these scriptures to you in Romans chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. In Romans 3, yeah, you can get me last. You can go. In Romans 3, 24 through 26, it says this: being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is what we're talking about here today. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Hallelujah. Verse 26 says, to declare, I say, at this time... Oops. You okay? Praise God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen. He justifies us today as we believe in Him. And my last two scriptures are in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7, 26 and 27. This goes along with what was said already. It says, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Amen. "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself." Praise God. So this is our high priest. This is Jesus. Amen. Our high priest today. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. For us today. Amen. Thank you, brother. So we're going to prepare our hearts here today. Thank you. Everybody's been served. Amen. So our praise and worship team is going to lead us in a communion song. Praise God. As we sing this song, let your heart be prepared. Remember, this is our Day of Atonement. Praise God. Time that we are looking to Jesus to atone for our sins. So let's all stand.